Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. It will be on induction, so we'll just try to explain the basics, the foundation of what creates the capacity for radio to send radio signals, for transformers to charge, secondary coils, capacitors, all that kind of crap. I shall explain. Okay, magnets even. That's where it all comes from. It all happens because you can change the field around something, just like you can change a piece of iron into a magnet with just a couple of simple little processes. Just move another magnet by it, even. And it'll become sympathetically magnetic. So anyway, I figure I'd read this comment first. I'm not going to post it. Because it's not on the subject, and these are just, trolley-type cowards, frankly, and who don't want to give their identity away, they all have their own motives, and they're not necessarily, the future. Or they're too simplistic. But anyway. If you want more interaction comments, no, I really don't like comments, frankly. I have no use for them. I don't read most of them. I hate commenters, frankly. It's all drivel, okay? Simplistic drivel, most of the time. I mean, there's people say very nice things about you, blah, 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 blah. Who cares, right? Because it's the opinion of a moron. I mean, there's nobody has to have any credibility. No one comes to any of these fights with any kind of authority. These aren't people who make videos. These aren't people who make arguments. These aren't people who do a damn thing. Why should I give a fuck about their silly fucking opinions? Yeah, that's right. I shouldn't. The only thing they're good for is, recognizing whether, you're making an argument that could be understood or not. You can find out whether, oh, shit, they can't get it. Okay, I have to go even lower. I have to put it in real, actual baby talk. Because they're too fucking stupid. So you just reveal to me how scummy the audience is. You don't reveal anything important. So the key word there is interaction. Yeah, I'm looking for interaction in the sense I'm looking for the opportunity to defeat, the Goliath. To get within throwing distance. And throw my stones, knock the fucker down, prove they're weak, prove they're defeatable, prove we don't have to live under the authority of the intellectual whatever you want to call these people. They're supposed to be smart who are really just fucking arrogant assholes. Fuck them, okay? Fuck the bullshit world they've created. Fuck what they've done to the place. They're running the show. They're driving the bus, and they're driving it into a toilet. The whole fucking, let's let billionaires tell us how to live. Fuck you. And this whole, the whole thing is so ludicrous. Musk. Ugh. Ugh. Skunk. Anyway. You really should go back on YouTube. Yeah, why? I should go back to what? Okay, a medium that's clearly censored. A place that is controlling what I can possibly say, what I can't say, in draconian fashion. I mean, it's a fucking tyrant, YouTube. Their penalties are so high that you don't even go, the penalty for jaywalking is death, So you don't even go near the sidewalk. You don't even walk on the street anymore because you're saying, well, what if the wind blows and I step into the street? The whole thing is ludicrous. We shouldn't have to live under this fucking bullshit system. And you think anybody who sits there and raises their hand says, no, Moss, I'm not doing this bullshit. I'm not living in this fucking goddamn fascist Borg run by these fucking marketing companies who are just selling crap in the cheesiest, sleaziest way possible. Why the fuck, would you think, oh, I should go? No, I should have some integrity and say, fuck it. Anyway, much larger channels have tried to post their videos in separate sites. Yeah, all for separate individual reasons, right? All reasons, they all ran away for their reasons. And their reasons seldom had anything to do with protesting corporate ownership, okay, because they just ended up going to some other corporately owned pile of shit that was going to sell them out again. So, I mean, it's so illogical. I mean, I'm obviously not going to some other stupid, idiotic, moronic, crappy shit fucking platform owned by venture capitalists who are only going to be looking for the easiest way out, the biggest payoff. Yes, let's sell it to Google. I mean, they've already done this, you morons. People have set up these fake, you know, these extra sites to compete with YouTube and look like, oh, we protect freedom of speech and we do this and we do that. But as soon as Google signs the check, we are selling you out. So fuck you and this bullshit, this whatever this tripe is. Let's see, eventually all of them failed. So again, this is a bullshit argument. Obviously, everybody has failed to unify physics. Everyone. Every single fucking human who ever tried has failed. And I'm saying I didn't fail. Okay, I have done it. I accomplished the task. So I have, in the past, demonstrated the ability to go against the stream and win. And I'm going to demonstrate it here, too. Fuck you. Okay, anyway. It sucks that this is how it has to be. No, it doesn't have to be this way. And if everybody acquiesces and everybody, you know, just puts their tail under and does their little running thing, if everybody just sissies out, then that's why this happens, is because everybody sissies out. You're just such a coward. You'll fight for nothing. You'll defend nothing. Okay. But I don't think you should stop making videos because not enough people are viewing them on your site. Well, there's no point, you know, in doing this daily thing anyway. You know, updating daily my progress. It's, you know, it's just kind of a little bit of a waste of time. I can devote the resources, the time, to making the argument even more precise, or maybe even, you know, attempting to find some ethical way to generate, you know, interest and even... you know, raise the bar, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 to see if we can get one of these cowards to defend this bullshit physics. You know, but once that starts, once the theater starts, okay, once they have to start defending themselves, once you have one of these little criminals, these little physics Nazis, once you got one of them in the chair, they're going to, you know, out all each other, you know, and so it's all going to fall apart once you show how weak they are, and what how they're so unprincipled and how they can't defend any of this crap with anything really called logic or evidence or anything you should have expected. You should have expected that they have tied up all these loose ends. And no, there's loose ends all over the place. They have swept crap under the carpet for years, decades, centuries even. They still haven't fixed positive and negative. Come on, get real. They're idiots. All right. Oh, we have the greatest. Maxwell's equations are perfect. Well, except they have ludicrous things in them, like the current's going this way and the voltage is going that way. Do you really think so? The geese are flying south for the winter, except the geese are going north. What? Yeah, okay. Anyway, not to mention your self-imposed exile. So again, it's not some sort of self-imposed. It's out of the fact that even this channel is subject to this horseshit. Why, I want thousands of videos deleted by Google Tube or whatever. That's what it comes down to. You're vulnerable. Producing content on any of these corporate media, they clearly don't give a fuck about anything called a democracy or human rights or civil rights or, you know, the Bill of Rights. These are not important principles or ideals. That has nothing to do with their corporate interest of making more money, shoving more crappy, moronic, drolly bullshit into your face, making you dumber. That's their ambition, you stupid fuck. Anyway, Your cell phone is honestly only hurting you. Well, we'll see. We'll see who wins in the end. Okay, we'll see what happens in the end. Okay, pussying out would just be on the record. If I could stay on the record as no, he didn't. He didn't sit there and just say, "Oh, I'm going to acquiesce." I'm not saying I won't put any videos on YouTube in the future. Obviously, if I can actually engage some asshole, some idiot, okay, who thinks there's something to defend in the conventional standard model of bullshit they've invented. Yeah, if I can get one of those assholes on the line as a courtesy, I might put my videos on Google, but that's it. Anyway, Google couldn't care less. Well, the idea isn't whether Google cares less, it's whether assholes like you can figure out that you have to care less. Yes, Google's not going to change because I don't like Google. Google's only going to change when assholes like you say, yeah, there's a fight here. Let's fight it. Let's win for a change. Instead of being cowards and running away, yeah, let's actually invest in winning. You know, so until the audience is willing to invest in winning, yeah, you're not going to win. Yeah, that's true. So, you know, I can only do my part, as I've said before. I can only reason with you buttheads. You keep voting for assholes. You keep voting for corporations. You keep voting for people who won't say things like, well, I'm a congressman. If I've ever found to be stealing your money or violating your rights, you should execute me. You don't even have public servants who are willing to say, hey, if I'm a cop and I break the law, yeah, you shouldn't just give me a higher penalty. No, you should actually kill me. I mean, if I can't do something as simple as being a law enforcement person, I can't even obey the fucking laws, yeah, fuck me. You can't even elect people who have that much integrity. So, fuck you. There's so many things you're doing so poorly. There's so much being done shit here on this planet, okay? Just too fucking stupid. It ain't gonna change because a few people say, hey, you're too fucking stupid. It's not going to change until you jackasses get smart enough to realize, hey, there is a truth out there, and if no one defends it, it drowns in the bullshit. It drowns in the noise. All right, Google couldn't care less. Just being honest. And being a coward. You won't sign your name to this tripe. Who the fuck are you? Why should I think you have any good interests at heart? Yeah. Why should I think that? Why should I think you're just some kind of troll playing your little manipulation games because you're too much of a coward to be a real person? I mean, fuck you. You're going to give me personal advice when you can't even sign your real name to it and tell me about what the right thing to do is? Ugh, pathetic. I shouldn't even read your comment, you know, in this context. It's not a physics argument. It's not on the subject. You know, you think you know better. Well, you haven't demonstrated you know better. And you certainly didn't make much of an argument here in defense of, let's all coward out and be owned by corporations. Yeah, let's never fight. Never sacrifice anything. None of your personal interests should ever be sacrificed in a war. Yeah, no. You should never risk your life. That would be silly. For the cause? Oh, fuck. How outrageously moronic. All those assholes who die in wars to protect freedom. What dupes. Just fuck you. I mean, this is hard enough. You know, I mean, I have to pay a price for it. That's right, I have to do more work. You know, I have to convert my videos into different formats and all this other shit I have to do. You know. So this isn't, you know. You're just such a fucking asshole. So, fuck you. All right, anyway. All right, on to the subject. All right, so induction. And so, you know, this relates to this whole bullshit, you know. There's just been this little flurry in the standard physics community where they have these little pretend battles with each other now over some ideas. You know, and it's just a way of generating interest. But, you know, it is good that at least that little bit's happening. It's a little bit of a You know, it's creating a little bit of noise that might actually get somewhere in terms of creating some resentments and some hostilities that might create a real argument somewhere. But let's see. Well, anyway, so one of these little fake controversies has been now is the new one is what's the nature of the energy, okay, that happens, okay, when you have something called electricity. So as I have pointed out, electricity is not something that happens in a field. There's no field of electricity. And you can know this from a lot of things, right? I mean, so let's say you understand induction in the sense that you understand the concept of a transformer. And what makes the transformer really work well, okay, is, you know, putting a piece of iron in it, okay? And basically, what's the iron doing? It's not sending electrons over to this other coil of wire. What's it doing is it just making it easier for the effect of the electricity going through the wire to get to this other side. And so it's not getting there this way, you know. It's getting there through the iron, okay? The iron's creating a magnetic field, and the proof it's going through the iron is the fact that, you know, you put these cores at different locations, you end up getting different phases. So you can create different phases by putting the coil further away. But anyway, so what you're creating is magnetism. The magnetism is what's causing the effect, and it's causing the effect because when electricity goes through a wire, okay, it's at one electron at a time. So let's understand. So there's no drift velocity. There's just individual electrons that have pressure, okay? So they're moving at their own little velocity. Their velocity is dependent on how much is pushing them, so how much energy they're getting pushed by. And basically, right, you can sort of understand that the electrons don't come out of space or something. You don't just stick a wire into a stream of electrons and the electrons fly into the wire. That really what you're doing is just transferring electrons from one atom to another atom. So this one already has an electron. And you're basically pushing this electron into this electron. And this electron pushes into the next electron and this electron. So it's really an atomic function, electricity. Well, you're just taking the pressure of an electron, you're pushing it towards another electron. And the idea is to understand that every electron is radiating, you know, a kind of heat, you could say. So we just thought of it as just radiating a kind of force, all right? And when that force pushes into another electron, okay, the electron has to, you know, it's going to move because it's getting hit by something real. So there's I've used ping pong paddles as an example, but you could sort of understand there's something bouncing back and forth between the electrons. You can understand that when they're close together, it bounces more often. That is, both sides are feeling more pressure. And when they're further apart... Oh. There's always details, right? Always details. Okay, and when they're further apart, there's less pressure because there's less impacts. So it's kind of just understanding that's that little stuff bouncing between the electrons, what regular physics would call virtual photons, that's the stuff, okay, that's essentially conveying the pressure. So that stuff moves at the speed of light. So when one electron moves, it is affecting a field. So it moves to this position here. It's affecting a field that's moving at the speed of light. And that field conveys the pressure to the next electron. So this distance, as we know from atoms, right? I mean, their theory of atoms are that, you know, the nucleus is here and the electrons here and the electrons here. And this is a huge amount of distance of empty space relative to the size of these things. So most of the time, most of the movement of an electron is going to be in the empty space, so to speak. The empty space, moving the speed of light, the message isn't going to be sent by the electron. It's going to be sent by the field at the speed of light. The message to this electron that says, go this way. So it's most of the distance is the field being compressed and expanded. So the field between the electrons is compressed or it's expanded, the little virtual photons. And by doing that, you convey the pressure, and you convey the pressure pretty much at the speed of light. Now, yes, the electron moves slower than that,
but it's only a tiny percentage of the voyage. So most of the voyage is the field compressing at the speed of light. Then a little tiny portion is the electron moving slower than the speed of light, and then it goes back to the field. So 99% of the action, you know, what's really moving, what's changing, is the fields changing, and the fields change at the speed of light. That's why the electricity moves at almost the speed of light, is because most of the pressure change in the wire is between the electrons, their distance, and that is communicated at the speed of light. So if this pen moves, the camera would know at the speed of light that the pen moved. You get it? So the pen can move slow, but you're receiving the information of the movement much, much quicker at the speed of light. You don't have to wait for the pen to get all the way to you to send the message that the pen is moving. All right. So I guess I'll have to pause because I got to erase this, and that takes, you know, maybe this will work. Oh, it's too hard to find the damn buttons on this computer. I believe this will work. I'll try it. All right, should be back, but I better check. So there's no point in being back, right? Yes, I'm back. All right. So let's get to the part that is very different from what they say, but it's really not that different from what most people think. So most people think there's an ether of some kind. Well, a lot of people. And clearly, bent space implies an ether. Clearly, when they say the word field, electric field, magnetic field, they're implying ethers. When they say there's a field for every particle, they're implying an ether. So the idea is that everything in the universe is sitting here. And my problem with an ether is it wouldn't be doing anything. So instead of an ether, there's energy. There's little bits of movement. And kind of in the Descartesian sense, the little bits never stop. They're always moving. So the whatever energies, whatever you want to call energy, heat, anything, it's always going somewhere. So it has a history. Every little bit of energy, you could go backwards and you could see where it's been for billions and billions and billions of years. You know, it has a history. Ever since the beginning of the universe, it has been traveling different places, going from galaxy to galaxy, moving across space, blah, 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 blah. These little bits of energy. So everything's being bombarded, okay, by these little bits of energy, the ether, whatever you want to call it. It's stuff moving the speed of light. And everything, the matter, doesn't do anything. And so it needs to be pushed everywhere it's going to go. So if there's a little bit more of this stuff coming this way, then this piece of matter will move. Now the trick is there's positive matter and negative matter, you know, charge, and so there's positive, you know, bits and of force and negative bits, and I won't go into all that crap because for this argument you don't need all that crap. Well, you sort of do for the magnetic part, but well, anyway, we'll see if we can do it without. You know, you just get confused. If I tell you it's 2 plus 2 plus 2 physics, there's two kinds of force, two kinds of matter, electron, protons, and two kinds of interactions. Push it or get diverted. And that's it. And that explains all of these phenomena. But anyway, so the idea is everything's getting bombarded, and it just reflects back, okay, what it's getting in. And so it can reflect it back 10 years, you know, stuff can go into the system and spend 10 years going back and forth in there and then fly out. Okay, so there's little pieces of energy, there's little pieces of matter, right? The little electrons and the protons are just as durable as the forces in the sense that the electrons and protons floating around in this environment, a lot of them have been here for hundreds or thousands or even millions of years. I mean, there's, you know, dinosaur anus right here on this pen. These 14 electrons right here, you know, were a Tyrannosaurus's anus. I mean, you know, you could say the same thing about your own, who you're made out of, what you're made out of. It's all the same matter and it's all the same energy, substantially. So some of it can just reflect right out, you know, just as a pure reflection. And then some other reflections take a while, you could argue. But the point is everything has a sort of equilibrium, and what's going in is coming back out. And so what happens when you have a wire and you're going to push electrons through it, okay? And you're really pushing electrons. I mean, they are, the basic idea is that you have these atoms, you know, with electrons in positions, and you push in an extra electron, essentially, another atom tilts one in your direction, and it sort of just causes cascades of electrons. So they are literally extra electrons. I mean, if this is happening to numerous atoms, you can sort of understand that there's a balance of more electrons at this end, you know, because they all got pushed a little bit more that way. You know, there's one here got pushed, and one here got pushed, and one here got pushed. So that, and that's amperage. The more atoms you involve, the more pushing you're doing, the more atoms are changing. So, and that's the point. So when electricity is going through, what's happening is the atom's natural state, you could say, would be an arrow this way. Okay, they like to be in crystals, it's a metal, blah, 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 blah. You put electricity through it, it forces everything to, you know, do something different. So it does this instead. Okay, when electrons, you could just understand that now the atom has changed. So before, where it's just reflecting, you know, nothing, or we could say purple, you know, where, you know, and when they're in the regular configuration, then you could argue that they have an appearance. And we could even say that this is like the red side and the blue side. And you can't see the red side and the blue side when they're in their normal condition. But when you polarize them, well, then, yeah, all the blue's going this way. The blue side is showing, and this side is showing red. So you can sort of understand that I've changed the wire. It's now doing something different when it reflects because it's a different color, essentially. Each time I move an electron, so this is, again, the amperage argument. So if I'm using low voltage and high amperage, I can have the same watts, okay, and I can maximize how many atoms I'm changing. So if I use a low voltage and a high amperage, I can take the same total amount of energy, okay, and I can affect more atoms with that same amount of energy. So that's why they do that for magnets. They use low voltages and high amperages, so they affect as many atoms as possible. So they're doing this. They're converting the atoms from regular chaos, you could argue, to they look like something. But it only happens while the electron is jumping. So it's only happening while the electricity is moving. So if I stop pushing, I stop making the effect. I stop polarizing the atom. The atom's only polarizing for the purpose of moving the electron. So it polarizes here for a second, and then that goes away and it's polarized here, and then that goes away and it's polarized here. So the voyage of the electron has a record in the sense that it's polarizing the atoms as it goes along, but they're unpolarizing just as quickly as they polarize. So you're just sending a little blip up, and then that goes away, and another little blip, and then there's another little blip. So you're just basically pushing an electron, let's just say, on the surface, and you're pushing it out, right? So when the electrons go in, you push an electron up. And you can sort of understand that when I pushed it up, what did I do? That's like taking this, and I move it to over here, right? So if I push an electron, I move an electron, the field that's hitting it now, this part of the field obviously would have had to go all the way over here to hit it, and now it hits it here, so it hits it sooner. And the stuff coming this way, though, it would have reflected here, but now it has to go all the way over here to reflect. So from one side, right, everything's turning off. There's no reflections. This is the off side. And on this side, it's really on because now I'm getting twice as many, okay, 2x as many reflections, you know, in the sense of whatever the amount of reflections there can be, you know, how many reflections you change in the distance you move. It's 2x of this, 2x of that. It's probably the wrong way to say it. It's you can just understand it's more reflections. We'll just call it 2x because I don't know what else to call it. All right. So you can just understand that if something moves forward into a field of stuff, it's going to hit more stuff than coming from the back. You know, if it started off with stuff coming from all directions, moving into it will mean you'll have more encounters from this direction and fewer encounters from this direction. So you could just get the idea that if I move this, you know, I've done this so many times, but I move this pen fast enough away from you, it would disappear because none of the light would have time to reflect. It can't get to the pen. I'm moving the pen so fast that none of the light that would be reflecting off the pen can get to the pen to reflect to you. Can't do it. And if I move it really fast this way, what am I doing? I'm taking all the reflections that would have happened, right, through all of those stages, and I'm pushing them all essentially into one time. They're all going to show up at once. So if I could move this to the speed of light, every reflection would just get stuck. It couldn't go any faster than the thing it's reflecting off of. So it would hit and just go the same speed forward. So every single reflection would just pile up, and I would send a big burst of crap to you. Now, that's not how fast electrons are moving, so that doesn't happen. And the whole process of moving into more stuff means you're going to get slowed down. So you're not going to be able to go fast for very long. You can just go jerk, and then you stop. You get slowed down by the drag, and it stops you eventually. So unless you are continually pushed, the drag will consume your velocity. So that's why we're not shooting electrons around. It's because it's hard to shoot an electron because it gets dragged to a halt. A vacuum is a thick medium for an electron. So if I take all the matter out, I'm still stuck with all these little force bits, all these little arrows. And the electron still has to go through all of that force, and it just drags to a halt. So when they say they're shooting electrons, that's always kind of, you know, that's a whole nother subject, but that's a kind of a bullshit, right? They're heating an element. And clearly what they're doing is breaking the atoms off. So when they say they're shooting electrons, they're really shooting a bunch of pieces of atoms. It's not just electrons. It's more like it's ions. It's more like it's a bunch of atoms that have been degraded. They're doing chemistry, you know, when they're heating it. They're breaking off, they're changing compounds into their elemental atoms, and they're changing some elemental atoms into ions. And that's what they're shooting. But anyway, that's a whole other subject, right? Right. All right, so I'll erase this, and we'll try the third way to approach this. Yeah, that's what we'll do. All right, back we are, and such. Okay, all right, so as I was pointing out about the electrons, I guess a point I should make is that, okay, although this individual electron will be dragged to a halt, right? I mean, it's going to start moving, it's guided by extra force from this direction. Starts moving, it starts getting dragged to a halt because it's plowing into more energy going this way, right? It hits more stuff. There's three things it'll hit this way. There's only two things pushing this way because it's moving in that direction, so it's changing the equilibrium. The catch is that when it runs into this drag force, it's actually creating more force going this way, right? So the reflections are happening sooner this way, which means more force is going this way, which means the other electron is going to get hit by three things going this way and only two things going this way, so it's going to go that way. And it's going to do the same thing. It's going to create more force ahead of it. So you're just pushing the force, essentially, by moving the electrons. So you're not moving the electrons all that much, but you're moving them enough to create this cascade in the medium. And every time that happens, okay, every time an electron moves, it's creating, okay, it's changing, okay, whatever it's radiating this way. And the idea is that it's that change in this radiation that magnetic things can detect, or magnetizable things can detect. All right, so we're back to the wire. And so the electricity is flowing in the form of this pressure between electrons, okay, that's being conveyed. And if it's high pressure, high voltage, you only need, you know, very few electrons to carry it. That's why high voltage doesn't melt wires very much. You can have a tiny, you know, really, theoretical wire thinner than this pen, thinner, carries millions of watts of electricity at high voltage. You know, I've seen them, you know, hit the ground. Quarter inch thick wire hit the ground and it creates this insane plasma and melts the clay in the ground, turns it into glass. I mean, amazing amounts of heat, amazing amounts of energy, watts, going through the wire, and the wire doesn't melt. But I just take 12 volts, you know, and I take a few car batteries and I can melt that wire without even trying. I mean, I just took it between the two poles on the battery and the wire will just dissolve. Because then I'm sending low voltage and high amperage. So I'm using lots of electrons to send the force. And the more electrons I use, the more instable all the atoms are getting because they're all being turned. They're all being changed in their position. So it's breaking, actually cracking and breaking the material into pieces. And that's why the wire fails. So it's important to understand that. So if I want to create this effect, best to use a high amperage than a high voltage, and I'll be affecting more atoms that way, and affecting more atoms means I'm sending more signal. So, and you're sending a signal that's already coming in, so the signal's coming in one way. So when a photon's reflecting, what it's really, you know, theoretically, what's really happening is energy hits a surface and all the time, and all you're doing is changing how it reflects. So it can reflect as a red photon or it can reflect as a blue photon. It just depends on what the surface is you're hitting with the radiation, what color you get back. I shouldn't say that because that's not explicitly true. All right, so never mind, I said that. We won't get into color, light. You know, heat starts to create visible photons by adding energy to the energy already coming in, which sort of be the argument. If the surface is doing this vibrating thing, you could understand that energy coming in that, you know, lower frequency is obviously going to be changed into a higher frequency by the temperature change. So that's the point I sort of wanted to get to. But anyway. So let's just understand that the energy pushing the electrons is real. It's moving through the wire, the force. Okay, you had to put these real little arrows in. Okay, you had to create this imbalance for this electron. That imbalance was exchanged to there. That imbalance is exchanged to here. That imbalance just keeps going. So you've got real energy, real force, little arrows. Little force bits moving the speed of light are making their way through the conductor by using electrons as the conduit. Electrons are doing a little tiny bit of movement, the force bits between the electrons, the ping-pong piles get stronger, you know, vibrates back and forth faster, more pressure moves the electron, more pressure moves the electron. So it's a real thing happening. So this is that's real energy, real force. Now how can it create energy this way? So you can sort of understand that there's no way electricity could get through wires if at the same time it's pushing electrons this way, it's making force this way, okay? So you can sort of understand that it can't be making both of these. It can't be pushing electrons this way and pushing shit out this way and leaking a bunch of crap this way, because then it couldn't get through the wire. It couldn't go very far. You couldn't transmit, you know, through a wire very far. Now, the reason why you can't transfer it through a wire very far is because of the resistance, and resistance is caused by impurities and other things, and that's what a semiconductor defeats. It gets rid of the heat element where you have atoms that aren't going to convey the pressure very well because they're moving in the wrong direction, all kinds of things that are happening, and they're creating noise that's causing your wire to heat up, which is the atoms to vibrate, and you know that's just energy loss. But theoretically, you know, in a semiconductor, everything you put in comes out at the other end. So none of the energy is being used to create whatever these effects are. So the whole point is that the magnet, the difference between a piece of steel and a magnet, isn't that they're getting hit by different energy. They're getting hit by the same exact energy, right? The same thing is happening to them. It's all that you've done is you've changed the configuration inside the magnet. All right, where it's going to radiate at a specific way, a specific pattern of radiation is coming off of it. It's reflecting a different color, so to speak. That's the simple argument, is if we just reduce this to color, the steel looks purple. And what the magnet does is it makes this end look red, and it makes this end look blue. Okay, it segregates. It takes something that's there, but can't be seen because it's mixed here, and it just pulls the oil and the water, you know, shows you that they're different things. It allows them to separate. So they're emulsified here. They're separated by what the magnetic effect is doing. So now your reflections have a character to them, and they look like something. Okay, they have like a signal they're sending on, off, on, off, on, off. You know, it's a signal. And so now when the energy comes in and reflects off of them, it will reflect that signal. It will show you that signal. And the signal could be just, like I said, the fact that the electron could be just pushing out a little bit. And so its position is different, and therefore here you have more stuff, here you have less stuff, here you have more stuff, here you have less stuff. And really it's a segregation, not a volume, so I don't even get into that. But you can just understand the energy is inside the wire. That energy is separate from this energy. The field energy always exists, and it's just the fact that you change its character that makes it affect you. So all you're doing is changing the frequency, and it makes a huge difference. I go from ultraviolet light to infrared, and there's a huge difference in the consequences to what's going to happen to your body, right? The ultraviolet light can ionize your atoms, the infrared won't. So that's what's really taking place, is that you're changing what's getting reflected off the wire. So, and it's completely, every little change in the field coming out, so just understand, every single change in the field coming out has an electron at its source. So an electron changed, moved here, an electron moved here. Every change in the field is associated with an electron. So you have just as much change in the field as you have movement in the wire. So the change going this way is the same as the change going that way. This change is real pushing force. This change is just the consequence of pushing. So you can just, so you've changed the wire, you've changed the field. Now if you change the field, oh, I hate to erase again, but I really got to. Sorry. It's semi-seamless, right? Alright, should be back, and over here, and okay, so let's try to sum this up. So the idea is the wire, I can put two wires in proximity to each other, alright, and the idea is that this wire, I can put electricity into it, and when I do that, I am essentially magnetizing it. I'm turning it into a magnet. And I'm sending a signal on the surface, but it's not really the surface. It's coming from inside the wire. No matter where the electron is, it's going to radiate a little one of these photons, one of these virtual photons. Could be in that direction, could be in that direction. It all just depends on what atom it hits and what position that atom's in, which direction the little ray of change, okay, in the sense of the reflections will change. So, you know, you really do have to understand that everything in this tiny universe is just stuff in a universe, and they're all being bombarded. Like gravity, the force is intense, the fields are intense, and everything is existing in a field of this bombardment of force. And so all of this stuff, all these changes just leak through the universe, so to speak, their universe. Their universe is mostly empty space too, just like ours is. And it's mostly empty space. So, you know, this stuff can get through it no problem, these little bits of force. Well, anyway, so the idea is now I've changed the pattern here, and I'm making a pattern that you could see as it's moving when it's not, right? I mean, it's the whole up and down argument of an ocean wave, right? The ocean wave is going up and down, but it looks like it's moving this way, right? It looks like it's moving in a direction, but it's just, each thing is just going up and down. Well, the same thing is happening here. You're creating a synthetic wave. It's not a real wave. It's just could look like one. So you're changing the pattern. This one's switching, and then this one goes back, and then this one switches, and then this one goes back, and this one. So the atoms are changing their appearance, They're switching, going back. Switching, going back. They're sending a signal, and the signal can hit this wire, and it'll do exactly the same thing that this. When you cause this effect, you cause the electricity. So by recreating the pattern and having these electrons move exactly the opposite to how these moved, so this an electron moves in a certain way, creates a reflection. The reflection has the information in it of you're going to be moved because I'm sending you more energy. I'm going to do exactly the opposite. I push this way, you're going to get pushed in. So I went out, you're going to go in, okay? And you're going to create exactly, you're going to just duplicate what I did in reverse. And since you're on the opposite side, the direction will be the same because you're going the opposite way relative to their way. Anyway, but it doesn't matter. We don't even, direction's not really important. But the idea is, as you understand, is this synthetic, what will appear to look like a wave moving, when it's really just electrons going up and down, it'll just be duplicated on this surface. And when you duplicate the electron going down, you're just going to end up duplicating the very process that was the force moving in this direction. So you're just duplicating it with the reflected energy. So this energy isn't this energy. The energy that initiated the change still is going in the wire. This sympathetic capture of the pattern is just that. It's a sympathetic capture of the same phenomenon. Okay, but you haven't doubled the amount of energy in the universe. You've just, you know, well, it looks like it's double to me, but it's not. So this is just a consequence of what gets reflected, and that the reflections are constantly changing, and that's the effect you'll have on a wire. But you know that you can't, this will never have more energy. You can never collect more energy than was in here, because all you're doing is collecting the same reflections off the movement of these pieces in here. So the change going this way is causing a change in the field this way. That change is causing change in this direction. So you can see there's a continuity to just the motion, the movement of the change through the universe. It's just change. And change is pattern, and pattern is duplicatable and transmittable. All right, so it's stupid to say the electricity isn't traveling through the wire. Of course it is. Of course the electrons have to move through this wire to create the pattern change, the magnetism. You've changed the wire from the piece of steel into a magnet, okay? A magnet of lots of little magnets, actually. And the little magnets are sending a signal to another piece of metal that's going to be sympathetic to that magnetism, duplicate it, and create a flow of electricity. All right, so if you coil these wires up, you can understand that I'm concentrating the energy, because if it is reflective, once you put it inside a coil, it can't get out. It's trapped inside. It just keeps bouncing off the electrons on either side, so it stays in there and amplifies your signal, and that's how you make an electromagnet, and that's how you make a transformer. All right, where you're just duplicating what's happening here, you're duplicating it here with fewer or more coils of wire to get either more voltage or less voltage, you know, but you can only transfer the same watts, you know, at some loss. You won't be able to transfer more watts. Just, you know, you either have a higher voltage and a lower amperage, or a higher amperage and a lower voltage. But it won't be 100% perfect. You can never get 100% of the energy that you put in here, the watts, out on this end, the secondary. And nor can you do it this way. So there's no, but the more you capture, the better off you are. So a capacitor has a big, giant, flat surface to make sure that every bit, every electron that moves is going to be seen by this surface. The electrons aren't going this way, and they're not going this way, and they're not going this way. They're staying right here on this surface and making the pattern here and ensuring that you pick up the pattern here. And the closer I bring the two plates, the less energy that can leak out the sides here. So the closer the plates are, the less leakage there is. And the more guaranteed I am to create pattern here and have a duplicate pattern on this side, you know, the inverse, and that's your capacitor. But you can't just take a piece of wire that has no surface almost. I mean, it's such a tiny amount of surface. And it's radiating the energy in all directions, remember? So if it's round, the energy is coming out this way and this way and this way and this way in all kinds of ways. I put another wire next to it. I'm only collecting a tiny bit of the pattern. Most of the pattern's going all these directions. So it's only a tiny bit of the pattern that can get into this other wire. So I'm losing a huge amount in terms of creating a sympathetic electrical field. So if I got electricity going in this wire and I put two wires next to each other, it's a tiny, tiny, tiny amount. That's why they have to put a huge amount of voltage, I mean amperage, into two wires to make them attract or to repel. You know, they have to put, you know, hundreds of watts into the wire because they're only seeing a tiny bit of each other's image. Most of the pattern change is being lost to the universe. It's not going to be seen by these other wires. These wires aren't going to see the patterns. They're not doing this nice, efficient transformer thing. You know, they're not concentrating the energy, putting it into iron, and having the iron convey it to another object, you know, to make it visible. They're not doing what the capacitor does. So, you know, you have very little chance of conveying much energy. You might have 1,000 watts here and you'll have 1 watt in this wire. You're losing 99% of the energy to the rest of the universe because you're not doing anything to focus it onto this wire. All right. So it's just theoretically silly to say, you know, in any circuit that the wire is traveling through the field, that the energy is traveling through the field. First off, we already know the energy is pushing the electrons. It's making the field, okay, by pushing the electrons. All right, so we know the energy is already being used to move electrons, and it continues to move, so it can't be used. It can't leak out. You can't say the energy is moving electrons in this direction and it's moving them in this direction. Now, you can say it in the sense that if they're moving and they're going back again. So I guess that's the catch. I don't know how to deal with that catch. But you're not leaking any real energy. You're not leaking any energy. Of the energy in the wire isn't the energy that's going to the other objects. It's a reflection. Just like, again, the magnet is a good example. I'm just saying, just think of the iron before it's magnetized, the iron after it's magnetized. One looks like it's full of energy. Okay, it's doing something, and the other is dead. It's not doing anything. And what's the difference? All I did was change the arrangement of the atoms. The atoms aren't doing any more work. There's not, like in the iron, there's not a bunch of swirling stuff, and there's not all kinds of stuff going on. How do I make that happen in the one that's magnetized? Do you really think the magnet has some capacity to, you know, create all this swirly stuff? It's got the energy to do any of that crap? No, of course not. It's just the reflections. The magnetized steel reflects a pattern, okay? The unmagnetized steel reflects nothing, just noise. That's the difference. That's the only difference. And when you put electricity through a wire, you create signal. You turn the noise into signal. The signal can be seen by other materials that are capable of becoming magnetic, and it will react by duplicating the process. Whatever this thing's doing, it will duplicate. But it can't do it at a distance. The more distance there is, the less signal you're getting. The further you get from a light bulb, the less signal you're getting. And you need this. You need your atoms to be hit by the signal, or you can't duplicate the process. So you need a big flat surface. You need lots of things. A radio antenna produces megawatts of energy. Your receiver produces milliwatts. You know, it's a gigantic difference in terms of the amount of energy in one system versus the producing system. Induction doesn't guarantee conveying all the energy. If you want to convey all the amperage, then you have to collect all of the signal. You have to surround the antenna and collect all the energy going, all the pattern going in all the directions, because every piece of that pattern represents an electron moving. And if you didn't see one of the pieces, if you don't see the electron move, you can't sympathetic create the move. So the energy, the reflection has to get to you. If it's going someplace else, you can't represent it inside of your function. All right, it's a big subject, and I can't say I figured out, but I didn't think I would take this path to it. So I'm not too sure I'm entirely pleased that I've made this simple enough. But the distinction just needs to be understood. The energy that you're moving isn't the energy in the wire. The wire isn't making the field. The field is just a consequence of when you do push electrons, they look different. And looking different means the universe sees the difference and everything reacts to the difference it's seeing. If something looks black or something looks white to you, you react differently. And on a physical, visceral level, electrons do the same thing. If they see a proton coming at them, they do one thing. If they see an electron coming at them, they do something exactly the opposite. And you're changing the pattern of electron-proton. And you're changing whether that electron's going to move away or towards. And by changing its movement, you know, you're just, you know, something's moving over here. You're just causing something over here to see, to have to live in the universe created by that image. And that image is going to make it do the same thing. That's not even perfect either. I'm just trying to get to the point that the energy in the wire is not being excreted to the field. That energy has to keep going down the wire to keep making the change in the pattern. There won't be any more change in the pattern if the energy is leaking out of the wire. So clearly the energy that is conveying the pattern is some other energy, and that's the energy in the universe already. That's gravity, essentially. Magnetism is just converting gravity into a plus and minus force, a visible pattern. It's taking something that's just noise and it's making it into a pattern. And when the other things that can detect the pattern see the pattern, it reacts to the pattern. If we could see magnetism, all of this would be pretty obvious. But we can't see it. But a magnet on looks entirely different than a magnet off. You know, a piece of steel turned on and off. The difference between solid purple and blue-red. Yeah, that's as simple as I can. It's not... Well, whatever. We'll see. We'll just keep trying to make it clearer. But, you know, do what I can. Do my part, and that's all I can do. All I can do is give you this, a more reasonable explanation than the woo, okay, of the conventional stories. So anyway, until the next time, and such. This has been a DraftPhysics.com video presentation. And such. Sorry about the furnace noise, but, you know. Yeah, I probably should have turned it off.